From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our most gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before Thee. We rejoice, O God, of what we have been singing about, the cross of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And cry, O God, that Thou wilt keep us ever at the foot of the old rugged cross. We thank Thee that we can gain an audience with Thee because of the cross work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We rejoice, O God, this evening that Thou art with us. We praise Thee, O God, that we're here to hear Thy word. We thank Thee for the Saviour, the eternal Son of God, who stepped into this world. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem men that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We thank Thee for that glorious journey that Christ took all the way from the realms of glory, stepping into this sin-cursed and blighted world. Thank Thee and praise Thee that He lived a perfect, sinless life on our behalf, fulfilling all righteousness for us by giving complete and perfect obedience to the law of God. We thank Thee for the substitutionary death that He died. We thank Thee again, O God, for the One who bled and suffered and died for sin, who became the great sin offering. We thank Thee that that offering was accepted by the Father and is shown to be such by the Father raising His Son from the dead. We thank thee that tonight we serve and we worship our risen and exalted Savior, who's far above all. We pray, O God, that tonight that thou wilt help thy servant, the Reverend Martin, as he preaches thy word. We pray that thou wilt help him to lift high the cross of Christ. We believe that whenever Christ crucified is preached, then all sinners who hear such a message and are gifted the gifts of faith and repentance are irresistibly drawn to the foot of the old rugged cross and there find pardon and peace and forgiveness for sins. Bless our hearts as we meet around thy word, for we offer prayer in the worthy and precious name of Christ our Savior. Amen. We're turning to 1 Corinthians, the chapter number 1. We're beginning our reading at the verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. We're singing again the hymn, I'm not ashamed to owe my Lord, or to defend his cause.
Glory. you have your Bible with you, I want to turn your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. We read there these words of the Apostle Paul, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The preaching of the cross is the power of God. Let's just keep our Bibles open and our finger upon that text of Scripture. We're asking help of God in the ministry of His holy and precious Word. Let us all take time to pray. O God, our gracious and our eternal loving Father, we once again thank Thee for Thy holy Word. And we ask as we consider the great truths of the Gospel concerning the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou wouldst give help to preacher and hearer alike. To this end I stand as a candidate for the infilling of Thy Holy Spirit with wisdom and power. I ask for that enduement of power from on high, that anointing that enables me as Thy servant to preach Christ and Him crucified. I ask Thee humbly now for the infilling of the Spirit of the living God with wisdom and power. And Father, in answer now to prayer, be pleased to save the lost, restore the backslider, revive Thy church, glorify Thy thrice holy name. For we ask these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious and worthy name. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. The central theme of Holy Scripture is the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Old Testament looked forward to that great event with most of its prophecies, its ceremonies, its foreshadowings, finding their fulfillment in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. While the New Testament now looks back at that historical occurrence, with most of its teaching given over to the explaining the meaning or expounding the message of the cross. Every type in your Bible, every ceremony, every offering, every sacrifice, all the rites and rituals of the Old Testament Jewish economy are all seen and viewed only in the light of the cross of Christ. God's plan of salvation, God's means of reconciling Himself to sinful, fallen man, God's method of rescuing, ransoming, and redeeming a lost mankind was the way of the cross. God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, His infinite justice and impeccable righteousness are all wonderfully displayed at the cross. Sinners, irrespective of class, color, or creed, have all been gloriously saved and wonderfully transformed through hearing the message of the cross. The cross, then, in summary, is the only hope for sinners. It is the ground of triumph for all believers, and it is the glory and the theme of heaven forevermore. And I have this to say as I'm preaching on this message. If you miss the cross, you're lost. If you miss the cross, you're lost. Now, before I move on, I feel it is important for me to explain what the Bible means when it speaks about the cross. There are some people in our nation, and they distort the meaning of the cross. For instance, they take a piece of wood or metal, they fashion some figure they call Christ, they place it on a wooden structure or metal structure, and they lift it up in their chapel or in their church as an aid to their worship, supposedly. And to them, that is the cross. It is the wood that man has fashioned. But when the Bible speaks of the cross, it never mentions the wood of the cross. When the Bible speaks of the cross, it means the work that Christ finished, and not the wood that men have fashioned. And therefore, the work of the cross means the finished work. It means what Christ accomplished there as our sinner's substitute. The work that He came to do and the work that He finalized, accomplished, and finished at Calvary. That's what the Bible means when it speaks about the cross. It speaks about not the wood, that men fashion, but the work that Christ finished. So that's why we say, if you miss the cross, you're lost. And still others, perhaps, they wear a little symbol around their neck, a little bracelet on their arm or an ankle bracelet or a little charm in their pocket to ward off evil and evil spirits. And to them, the cross is only a symbol, something you carry around with you, you adorn your body with or keep in your back pocket to ward off evil spirits or to bring you some good fortune in this world. But when the Bible speaks of the cross, it never speaks of the cross as a symbol. The Bible speaks of the cross as a sacrifice. And when I say you need to get to the cross, I mean you need to come to the place where you believe that Christ died as a sacrifice for your sin. You need to believe that Christ offered for you one great sacrifice for sin at the cross. And when you think of the cross tonight, you're thinking not of the wood that men have fashioned, but the work that Christ finished. You're not thinking of the cross as a symbol, but as a sacrifice to turn away divine wrath, to satisfy divine justice, and to save your soul eternally. Now keep this in mind as I now take you on a journey to the cross. We are on holy ground. We must spiritually take our shoes off as we climb the slopes of Mount Calvary. And I want to stand with you on the slopes of Golgotha, the place called Calvary, and ask this very simple question: why is the cross the only hope we have? Well, let me try and answer that question. Firstly, the cross is the only hope we have because it is the place where sin has been punished. You see, my friend John, in his first epistle, gives it a very simple yet profound statement on the subject of sin. He calls it, I quote, "For sin is the transgression of the law." He does not say it is some blemish in man's character. He does not say it is a little mistake. He says that sin ultimately is the transgression of the law of God. Therefore, the law of God, and not man's law, and not the court's legislation, and not what society says or newspapers print or any other atheistic, humanistic person in society tells us, sin ultimately is the transgression of the law of God. And the only standard we can judge sin by and moral issues by is the law of God. Therefore, an individual stands either justified or condemned in relation to the law of God. The Genesis account, the beginning of all things in that book, the first book of the Bible, reminds us in chapter 3, and it outlines this very truth for us. For when the Lord created Adam, and the word Adam means one blood, so we were all created in Adam. We didn't come from monkeys. We didn't evolve. We just didn't come as a result of a big bang or a little tadpole coming out of a river. God created you. And when he did so, he created you in Adam. And he created mankind in Adam perfect. Placed him in a garden of paradise. And it was there he gave him one law. Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. One law. And Adam disobeyed God. If he had obeyed God, he would have lived forevermore. But when he sinned against God, you and I were present in the loins of our federal head, Adam. And when Adam sinned, he plunged all mankind into a state of sin and misery. And therefore, the Bible says, as in one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So sin has passed upon all men, for that all will die because of Adam's sin. And as a result of that, we are lawbreakers by nature. We share in the first nature of our first parents, Adam and Eve. In their fall in the garden, we share in that guilt. And as a result of that, the Bible teaches us that we're born in sin and we're shaped in iniquity, and we go astray from our mother's womb, from our earliest days. We have to be taught right and wrong, good and evil, and we have to be pointed in the right way, for naturally we err, we stray, and we disobey. And as a result of all that, mankind and Adam have lost out with God. All that God intended in His creative purpose is all lost because of Adam's sin. There is no more life and enjoyment of our Maker because of sin. The Bible teaches us your sin have separated between you and your God. The Bible further says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The Bible also reminds us, doesn't it, that the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth shall die. There's not a just man upon the earth. There's no man that sinneth not, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, how terrible the plight of mankind out of Christ, without God, without salvation, without Christ. But how wonderful the place that the Spirit of God has taken us tonight, the cross. The place where the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, the Creator, and the Jehovah of the Old Testament, is the Jesus of the New Testament. He is Elohim, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He is Jehovah, the faithful covenant-keeping God. But He's also Jesus, the Savior of the world. And He came into this world and He died upon the cross as the sinner's substitute. And that's why we say to you, if you miss the cross tonight, you're lost. You're doomed. You're damned. You'll perish. You need to get to the place where you recognize you're a lawbreaker and a sinner before God. And you must believe that Christ, God's Son, who became a man, living a sinlessly perfect life for us, dying as our substitute. You must believe He took your place. He died for your sins and He paid the price in full at the cross. The cross is the only place where sin has been sufficiently punished. There is no merit in your baptism. There's no washing in water. There is only cleansing in the blood of the cross. You'll only find peace through the blood of the cross. You're justified through faith in the blood of the cross. And friend, if you miss the cross, you're lost. Secondly, the cross is the only hope we have because it is the place where salvation was purchased. Salvation is not to be found in your church. It's not to be found in a denomination. Salvation is not to be found in the ordinance of a church, in the sacrament of a church, in any rite or ritual performed by a bishop or archdeacon or whatever. Neither priest nor pastor, neither prelate nor pope can save your precious soul. Salvation is not invested in yourself and your good works. You cannot earn favor with God because the Bible says our righteousnesses, that's the best we can offer, are as filthy rags in His sight. And as a result of that, no amount of charitable giving, no amount of good living or human effort will save man's sin-sick soul. Do you see your condition out of Christ? Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, historically, believers or Christians have viewed what Christ purchased at the cross like this. First of all, He took our place. That's when Christ was on the cross. He was dying for sins that were not His own. He was a substitute for you. He took your place. He died, the just one, for you, the unjust, to bring you to God. He suffered. He bled. And He died upon the cross. And He rose from the dead. And now He's in heaven, a prince and a savior. And my friend, that's how we view what Christ has done. He has taken your place. And furthermore, He has taken your penalty. That's historically how we view what Christ did on Calvary. He took your penalty and He suffered for your sin. He endured the wrath of God upon your sin. You and I deserve that sin in hell and its punishment, but Christ took it upon Himself. And he bore that accursed load for you as a sinner and for me as a guilty sinner. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed or saved. Salvation was purchased at highest cost. Now it's offered free in the gospel to all who will believe, all who will repent, and all who will come as sinners to the Lord. Finally, the cross is the only hope we have because it is the place where sinners can be pardoned. Did you know that God knows no other place to save guilty sinners but through the work of the cross of Christ? Did you know that God is just, punishes sin, and the justifier, he pardons the guilty only as a sinner spiritually gets to the place called Calvary. That is, they come to the place where they see Christ has died for me. But you say, well, how do I, a guilty sinner, get to the cross? I want to finish by telling you how. You need to come the pathway of confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's the first step in coming to the cross. Confessing your sin, repenting of your sin, separating from your sin, saying farewell to your sin, abandoning your sin, and turning from that sin to Christ. You must come calling. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you must come believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe he is God. You must believe he is man. You must believe he lived a sinlessly perfect life and he died an atoning death for you. You must believe he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. There he sits at God's right hand, and one day he'll come back to this earth again, the risen, glorious, ascended, coming King. But you must come now. You must come tonight. And you must come to Christ and turn to him for salvation. Will you come? Will you trust the Savior now? I pray God by his Holy Spirit will convict and convince you of your sin and bring you savingly to the cross and to the Christ who died for sinners. Let's bow in prayer. Father, bless thy word to our hearts now. Speak to every heart, we pray. Save the lost. Glorify thy Son. The people of God said, Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.